ask you, what's worth shouting about? Maybe it's your Christmas presents. I don't know if any of you had some really good Christmas presents, but I'm wearing one of them, this shirt. Maybe you don't approve of it, but there you go. This is one Christmas present that I might not shout about, but I quite like. I also got quite a few other presents. My mum gave me boxers. My dad gave me boxers. My sister gave me boxers. And my other sister, well, you can guess. It's got to that stage in life. You had nothing to do with it except for wrapping all of them. What is worth shouting about in life? Maybe it's Christmas presents. Maybe it's Christmas. What is it in our lives that we think is so worthwhile? Well, maybe not shout about them, but we want to tell other people. We want to go out and, you know, tell people how good it is. Maybe it's the NHS. I've been saying it since we arrived back in the UK. I just find the NHS amazing. It's, compared to anything that we saw in Kenya, it's just incredible. The care that we received in the birth of Rosanna was amazing. I shout about it. I literally think, I know it's not perfect, but comparatively, it's just amazing. You go and get good, high-quality, free healthcare, and when you really need it, it's amazing. Maybe it's an investment fund. Maybe if you won the lottery, maybe you'd shout about that. Or maybe it's kids. Rosanna, our little daughter, who's now sat at the back with Suze, we definitely will shout about her. She's great fun. She's beautiful. She's a delight. And she's also up in the night a lot. But we'll definitely shout about her. Or maybe if someone's in danger, you'd shout about that, wouldn't you? If someone's crossing the road, you'd shout about that. But what would you shout about? I'm a sort of semi-football fan, and I support Liverpool, which is a great season to be supporting Liverpool. I don't know if anyone knows anything about football, but Liverpool are winning, by far. So I watched a match the other day, and they beat the people who were coming second 4-0. Which is pretty good, isn't it? So I'm a Liverpool fan. But this guy is such a Manchester United fan that he literally got their symbol tattooed to his forehead. That is metaphorically shouting about it, isn't it? I mean, like, it's in your face, on your face, literally. What is worth shouting about? There are all sorts of things people get excited about in life. But just have a look back down at the psalm. And let me just read to you verses 1 and 2 again. And by read, well, let me see if I can capture the original idea. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, my soul! I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing his praise to my God as long as I live. It's the sense, isn't it? It's the feel, isn't it? And the end of the psalm is the same. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. And in the original, it's even stronger. The praise the Lord at the beginning of the psalm, it's literally just praise Yah. It doesn't finish Yahweh, it's just praise Yah. He's so quickly trying to shout the praises of God that he just abbreviates the name Yahweh to Yah, which is the familial, knowing name of God. Praise Yah! Praise Yah, O my soul! I will praise Yahweh all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Here's a person who did something similar to the Manchester United fan with Yahweh. They got it tattooed on their wrist. I'm not suggesting you go home and get tattoos. There's the disclaimer. Okay, please don't. But this person thought that the name Yahweh was significant enough for them to get it tattooed to their wrist. And my question for us and myself today is Yahweh worth shouting about? Is it worth going down to, is it Lidl or Aldi on the way in? Lidl, I always get those two confused. Is it worth going to Lidl and standing outside and shouting about Yahweh? It seems like a crazy thing to do, but this psalmist seems to literally be shouting about it. Now, there are different cultural ways of doing things, but is it worth making a fuss? Liverpool, well, it's interesting. But Yahweh? Would we be willing to stand up and be considered a fool like that Manchester United fan for the sake of Yahweh? Would we be willing to do some crazy things for the sake of praising his name? You see, the psalmist here thinks it's worth praising him with every inch of our being. But maybe you, like me, have questions about that. It's not that we don't want to follow Yahweh. It's not that we don't want to walk the way of the righteous. No, 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 we do. We're here. We trust him. But going and making a big fuss, making some crazy decisions, is that really worth it? Is he really worth shouting from the rooftops? Can we really do that in 21st century Britain? Well, this is the main point of today, so I'm giving it to you right at the beginning, so nice and easy. If you got one of these sheets, if it helps you, I just put a few notes down just so you can follow, and a little summary of the Psalms that we'll look at in a minute. If it doesn't help you, distracts you, please just toss it on the floor. It's only there to help, and all we want to do is look at God's Word. So, but if it helps you, we're looking at the Psalms, and the Psalms is really the quest for the king. And here's the main point of this passage today, I think. Only King Yahweh can be trusted. Only King Yahweh can be trusted. So praise him. Only King Yahweh can be trusted. So praise him. That seems to be what the psalmist is starting with. He's just starting with this praise because he trusts King Yahweh. But maybe you, like me, want a little more proof. Prove it to me. Okay, I take the preposition. You're saying that only King Yahweh can be trusted. Prove it to me. We'll have a look at verse 3. Verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing.
Oh, going the wrong way.
Sometimes asking questions helps us realize what we trust. So here's a few questions for you. Where would you go if you got sick? Now, I know where I'd first go. Elias is a little ill at the moment, and the first thing we do is ring up 111. And if it gets any worse, then maybe we go into a GP or head down to emergency if it's really bad. Where do you go when you get ill? Or where do you go when you need money? Maybe it's to work, to get a job. But where do we go to fix the Brexit crisis or the climate crisis? What can we do about these things that seem so big and out of our control? What about government? What do we do if we want the government to change something for us? I don't know how much you guys have felt the government pays attention to this area of the world. In the Cotswolds, we often feel like, our MP there doesn't even live in the Cotswolds. He's miles away and we never see him. And sometimes it can feel like we have no power over the very country that we live in. Do you feel like that here? Well, back to verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. You see, friends, this world is... Well, it's beautiful and it's made by God, but it's also broken. And so there are people in this world who cannot be trusted. Now, doctors, and as I said before, the NHS is amazing. In the NHS are very trustworthy, but they can't ultimately save us, can they? Look back at verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save, or in whom there is no salvation. You see, doctors are very good at helping us get better when we get ill. But doctors can't fix the ultimate problem that's wrong with our bodies, which is that we're dying. Very slowly, but we're dying. And that is part of the curse, isn't it? It's part of the curse on this world because of our sin. All of us face the penalty of death. And all of us one day will die and go meet our gods. And doctors can't do anything about that. They can prolong it. They can make it easier or painless, but they cannot ultimately stop it. They cannot be trusted with matters of death. They can be trusted in many ways, but ultimately they can't. Similarly, with money, jobs can't be trusted. They could be lost in a minute, or our bosses could turn around and treat us wrongly or reduce our pay. We cannot put our trust in men. Similarly, I think it's obvious with Brexit and the climate change and government, we can't trust mankind. So why should we trust Yahweh? Well, firstly, man cannot be trusted. You can't trust man. Ultimately, man will disappoint you. They may well please you for a while. They may help you in certain ways. But ultimately, when given matters of ultimate importance, they will disappoint you. And this psalm really fits into the whole book of Psalms in a very particular way. If you just, for a moment, take a look at the little colourful chart at the bottom. It's just a very brief overview of the book of Psalms. Psalm 1 and 2 together form the introduction to the whole book. We read Psalm 1 at the beginning of the service, where it said, "Blessed is the one who walks in the counsel of the Lord, not in the way of sinners." So that whole Psalm 1 and 2 form the introduction, and they're basically setting up a search. The search for the king of the Psalms. Who is the Psalm? Who is the king of Psalm 2? At the end of Psalm 2, you see that everyone is to put their to take their refuge in the king of Psalm 2. And the question really is, who is that king? And so we spend, if you look down, books 1 and 2, Psalm 3 to 72, looking at David and his life, looking at his successes, but also his failures, looking at the way that he conquers his enemies with the power of God, but also the way that he sins and therefore suffers illness and defeat at the hands of his enemies. And the point of that and the point of book 3 is that the Davidic line really just ends in exile. Both David and his sons, none of them can be trusted ultimately as this king. They're not the king who subdues the nations like the Psalm 2 king. So ultimately these men cannot be trusted. Even though they're Davidic kings, they cannot be trusted. They are not the king of Psalm 2. But then in books 4 and 5, Psalm 90 to 145, we start looking at Yahweh. At this point in salvation history, we haven't heard the name Jesus except for Joshua, and maybe a translation of it. But Yahweh, the God of the Jews and our God, is depicted in all the rest of the book of Psalms as the king of Psalm 2. If just cast your eyes back to Psalm 145, just over the page. It's a psalm of David, a Davidic king. And look what David says. "I will exalt you, my God, the king. I will exalt you, my God, the king. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever." I'm getting carried away. You can feel the sense of that psalm as well. It's similarly full of praise, isn't it? And who is it for? The king. Who is the king? The king of Psalm 2. But who is that? Yahweh. It's not David. He's the one writing this psalm, praising his king. You see, friends, even Davidic kings, even the very best rulers, even a man chosen by God, a man who was said to be after God's own heart, ultimately disappointed and ultimately cannot take the place that only God deserves. So only King Yahweh can be trusted, and so we should praise him. But why? Well, firstly, as we've just seen, you can't trust man. You can't trust man. Even Davidic kings fell. In them there is no salvation. They can't ultimately bring salvation. They can't get us back to the Garden of Eden, the relationship with God before the curse. And that's the same thing that the verse 3 is talking about. Do not put your trust in princes, in kings, in rulers. Do not put your trust in them, because ultimately they will disappoint. They will disappoint. They're not worth trusting. And because they're not worth trusting, they're not worth praising. Those two things are intricately linked in this psalm. If you trust someone, ultimately you praise them. And so that Manchester fan, if you remember the little picture, he trusted Manchester to win so much that he thought it was worth putting their symbol on his forehead. He wanted to praise them with his whole being. But ultimately they will disappoint him, as they are doing this season. But can I ask you, that seems crazy, but what are your dreams? What are your hopes and dreams for this life? Where are your investments? We all have them, don't we? Storing up a pension, I'm putting it into a little a tracker fund. Maybe it's in your investments for the future. Maybe it's in your children, the hopes that you have for them. Maybe it's in the job or the career that you're pursuing. And maybe it's in your family, your parents, or the relationships that you have. Where are your hopes and dreams? Because today, friends, there is a stark warning. If we put our trust, our ultimate trust, our hope and our dream in mankind, in human beings who cannot save, we will be disappointed. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. That doesn't mean you're all going to lose all your investments and you need to take them all out straight away. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that ultimately, these things do disappoint. Have a look again at verse 4. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Ultimately, our plans will come to nothing. Naked we came into this world, and naked we will depart. We can't take anything with us. There is nothing that we accomplish on this earth that will be written above our name in heaven. Ultimately, the day that we die, we go to meet our God. Now, that doesn't mean that it's worthless in the way that we live. It doesn't mean we can go around living as we like, because the way we live does have significance in the eyes of God. And he is the most important. So let's turn to have a little look at him in this psalm. We've said that Yahweh, King Yahweh, is the only one who can be trusted, so we should praise him. And in proving it, we've seen that you can't trust man, but secondly, you can trust Yahweh. Have a look at verse 6. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. So think back to some of those things we thought about before. The sickness. I don't know if I've got a slide for this. Yes, there. Well, I was still on it. Haha. Where do you go if you get sick? Yahweh is the one who gives life and sustains life. He actually can give sight to the blind and lift up those who are bowed down, whose backs are bent. The Lord gives food to the hungry. This God can be trusted. He actually does fulfill the deepest desires of our hearts. We can't ultimately trust doctors with our death. They can make us better for a while. They can do some amazing things. But ultimately, well, if you think about the promises that Jesus makes, think about the book of Revelation where he says, one day you will meet with me and then there will be no more suffering, no more tears, no more pain anymore, no more death anymore. You see, that real problem, the heart of that problem of sickness, is both dealt with here, in short, he gives sight to the blind, but dealt with ultimately because of Jesus and his death on the cross. Because ultimately, in the new creation, we won't suffer sickness anymore. At my parents' house, my 96-year-old cousin, is she 96 or 94? 96. My 96-year-old cousin, my grandma's cousin, lives in my parents' house. And she's very unwell. She's bedridden. She's very cheerful. And she is still completely there mentally. But she's really suffering. And it's hard to watch. Because it's hard for her just being stuck, not being able to move, not care for herself, often in pain in her back. But I keep reminding her, when I go in occasionally with a little psalm or something, that the day is coming when she's going to meet her Lord. She's a Christian. The day is coming when she's going to have a new body, a brand new body that won't hurt anymore, whose knees and ankles don't ache every time they get moved by a carer. The day is coming when her sickness, that the doctors are so, in some ways, so helpful with, but in other ways, so powerless to change. The day is coming when the ultimate doctor will fix my cousin Nora's body. And that's the promise that the Lord Jesus makes to us. Secondly, money. We talked about money. We often invest in this life, don't we? We want to have a nest egg for our retirement. But ultimately, God has got that under control as well. He firstly owns all of the wealth in the world. The cattle on a thousand hills are his, and he can give them to whoever he wants. But secondly, ultimately, we're going to be living in a place where the roads are paved with gold. We went for a cycle ride the other day, and it was raining. Typical. It was raining, and the sun was shining. So it was kind of like, well, it's cold and freezing, and I'm wet. But at least the sun's shining. But the sun beaming down on the road was reflecting up at us. And I was with you, wasn't I, Mum? We were cycling along, and it was like a path of gold. I literally couldn't, I had to look up because I couldn't see the road. And it reminded me that, well, that's where we're going. We're going to a place where the streets are literally paved with the most valuable thing that is in this world. Not quite the most valuable, I think titanium is more, but a very valuable metal. That's where we're going. In terms of wealth, he has got it all stored up for us. We don't need to squirrel it away now. He owns it all, and he's invited us to come and live with him in his palace for eternity. Or maybe thinking about Brexit. One of my big worries about Brexit is just peace. It seems like we're slapping our neighbours in the face, and I just don't know where that's going to go. And it makes me worry, but ultimately, wherever all of those politics end up, because of Jesus' death on the cross, he has secured for us ultimate peace. Peace first with God, and secondly with each other. We have peace with each other. We all come from different backgrounds, and if typical folk like us met in a pub, we might not get on. But here we are, calling each other brothers and sisters. Why? Well, because of the peace that we all have with God. And that peace is a peace that endures. These relationships are ones that don't just last for 10, 20 years. They go on for eternity, which is something wonderful. So even though the Skerrits have moved away and are now back to visit, ultimately, you will know them in eternity. They'll be gone for a few years while they go to take the gospel somewhere else, as we go to take the gospel to Senegal. But ultimately, we will end up in a place where we can all rejoice and praise our God together with loud voices. Because that seems to be the way Psalms are doing it. So these ultimate things, and even the climate, not that we should go abandon and increase our carbon footprints, but ultimately God is going to fix this world. He made it and he's going to remake it. He promises that. And so all of these issues with climate change happening because of our emissions, well, ultimately, we can trust God. We should be caring for his world and respecting it because he is the creator. But ultimately, he is going to fix it, which is good news. So what are your hopes and dreams? Because whatever you're trusting, make sure that it's Yahweh that you're trusting with the ultimate things. Let's have a little look back at verse 5 as we draw to a close. Verse 5. Only King Yahweh can be trusted, so praise him. Why? Well, because blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob. Do you remember the beginning of Psalm 1? Let me just read it to you again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob. And similarly, at the end of Psalm 2, blessed are those who take refuge in him. This theme of being blessed, it flows right from the beginning of the book of Psalms to the end, like a stick of rock. Wherever you go, you'll find this theme of trusting Yahweh, of seeing him as our king, of putting our ultimate hope and trust in him. And here, near the end of the book of Psalms, again, those who have their ultimate hopes and help in Yahweh, well, they are considered blessed. They are considered blessed. Wherever I go around Africa, everybody considers us blessed. They watch the same TV shows. They all have sort of cheap versions, but the same things. They just, I don't know whether it's pirated. I can't imagine they're paying the same fees, but they're watching David Attenborough everywhere. Everywhere I go, they're watching David Attenborough. But they're also watching reality TV shows, and they see our lives, and they see the riches, and they see the tarmac roads, and they just consider us blessed. Every one of them thinks that I'm a millionaire. And relatively speaking, I often am, even though in this country I might not be. We are considered blessed in worldly terms around the world. But actually here is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, the one whose hope is in the Lord their God. Those are the ones who are blessed. And so, friends, we are ultimately blessed. We're blessed materially, but we are blessed spiritually. If today our trust is in Yahweh, if today we've put our hope in Him and Him alone, if that is where our investment eggs are, if you like, if that is the thing we're willing to have tattooed to our forehead, please don't go home and do that, then we are ultimately blessed. Then we are ultimately blessed. But so what? Well, so if you do trust Yahweh, praise Him. I think that's the simple application of this psalm. If you do trust Yahweh with everything, praise Him with everything. I was trying to think of a way to put this into different words, and here's my little attempt. If this king can be trusted with everything precious, then it's worth devoting everything precious to praising Him. I don't know if I wrote that down. Oh no, wrong way again. Sorry. Here we go. Hope. We're going to get there. Sorry. Don't worry about those hope slides. I just forgot them. Okay, here we go. If this king can be trusted with everything, then we should devote everything to praising Him. I think that's the application of this psalm. This king is trustworthy. Compared to anyone else in the world and anything else, He is trustworthy. And so if He's worth trusting with everything that's ultimately precious, well, He's also worth investing everything that's ultimately precious for. Do you see that? If this king is worth trusting, He's worth devoting everything to. But just have a look at the last verse, verse 10. Verse 10. And I think it splits it into these two sections. The first half, the Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Forget being elected for 4 years and maybe getting re-elected. Forget even a king being in for his lifetime or a dictator these days. This king, this political and spiritual leader, our God, He reigns forever. His reign is not coming to an end. He doesn't have to get re-elected and go do election campaigns all over the place. He is king because He made this world. He is king by the fact that He is the creator. And because He's king, He reigns forever. Our God, O Zion, that's a way of speaking of the people of God at the time, the Israelites, but now we're included. Our God, O church, reigns forever. It might not feel like that in Britain today, but ultimately He does. He is reigning. He is on His throne, and He will do for all generations. And here's the application. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we close, let's just take a little time to think about how we could praise Him this week. Because sometimes the word praise, it's sort of, well, for me, I've been using Spotify quite a lot recently and listening to playlists of praise and fasting. I quite enjoy them because they're really long. I guess guys are sitting in places fasting and wanting music. But often we think that praise is just music, don't we? We think, oh, praise God, great. So we should meet together more often than once a week to sing His praises. But that's not really what the psalmist is getting at here. Yes, we're to sing His praises with our voices. Yes, we're to write new songs, and we will sing another song just now praising Him. But praise, ultimately, is wider than just singing. The way that guy tattooed Manchester United to his forehead, that is him praising Manchester United. It's a crazy thing to do, but that's what he's doing. He's not just singing songs. He's also wearing the T-shirt. And he's getting it plastered to his very being to show everyone and anyone who ever meets him without even speaking to him, you will know that he thinks Manchester United are the best. And so we need to think about ways that we can do that. Please don't get a tattoo. But how can we go and sing his praises? Not just here, together, as we gather together as embers to ignite the fire, but also as we go out with our neighbours. How can we let our neighbours know in word and in deed that we consider Yahweh and Yahweh alone worth praising? How can we at school or in our jobs or as we travel show people, both by our words and our words, that we think Yahweh and Yahweh alone is worth praising? The other day I got a question and it was put quite strongly. You don't deny evolution, do you? With the tones of, and if you do, then you're a fool. And I stood up and said, well, I do have questions about it, actually. And that ended up in a very long discussion and a few people getting a bit upset with me. But I at that point, decided I needed to stand up and just say, actually, you know what? I don't think we're here because of chance. I do think we're here because God created it. He may have done it in a way that makes it look like things evolved over time. He may well have had his hand in the development of his world and created new things along the way, but he is the ultimate God. I had to stand up and just say, no, I actually believe there's a God, and I believe we're created, and I believe that we will one day meet him. I looked a bit like a fool. I'm sure the person I was speaking to thought I was a bit silly. But sometimes we just need to stand up. Even if we don't have the right words, even if we don't have the arguments, even if we can't win it, we just need to stand up, look a bit silly, and say, actually, I think Yahweh's most important. Actually, I'm trusting Jesus. Now, as we close, you might have thought, where was Jesus in all of this? Well, in the New Testament, Jesus is the King. Christ means the anointed one. He is the King of Psalm 2. And so when we sing the praises of King Yahweh, we are singing the praises of our God, who is both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of King Jesus, of his Father who sits on his throne, and the Spirit who reigns with them. So please don't think that Jesus is not in this. Wherever we've had Yahweh, I believe Jesus is there too. But I think the name Yahweh is sometimes overlooked. And we're given it for a reason, to remind us that God is the one who exists. So, as we close, let me remind you. Don't put your trust in princes, because only King Yahweh can be trusted. And so, praise him. Should we pray? Father God, if we're honest, we find it very hard to want to praise you in little or at home, in the presence of non-Christians, in the presence of people who don't want to praise you, who don't want to hear your name, who want to take you out of Christmas, who want to take you out of their lives and out of your world. Father, please give us the boldness and the courage to stand up and to praise you, to give you the praise that you deserve, the praise you will have on the last day in our lives here. We ask that you'd make us bold witnesses for the sake of your name, that you might get the glory in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.